Today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud Beis, and we are at the first wide line, 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Shmuel ben Tehila, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Shoshana Bracha, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Gittol Necha, Basara Chava, Chaya Devorah, Basara Sprintza, and Bela Bashein Lo Rachel. Today's daf is being learned as a schos v'yecheskel shragim at Miral, and today's daf is being learned to Ilui Nishmas Avraham ben Yubad l'chayim toivim Reb Moshe Chayim. So we're in the middle of another digression of the Gemara. The Gemara on the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Aleph began a discussion, a two daf discussion, with regards to Lishkas Parhedrin. Did it require a mezuzah, or did it not require a mezuzah? The Gemara brought a braisa, machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. It's a little bit unclear what really the machloikis is. Rabba, Abaya, Rava. Regardless, the Gemara took the opportunity, once it began discussing the laws of mezuzah, specifically what type of batim are chayiv in mezuzah and what type of batim are not chayiv in mezuzah. The Gemara went on to talk about different types of houses, beis ha-tevin, beis ha-bakar, beis ha-eitzin, beis ha-oitzritz, etc., etc. The very last Gemara that we learned was a braisa. The braisa said a beis ha-knesses, a beis ha-isha, and a beis ha-shutvin are all chayiv in mezuzah. So on that note, says the Gemara, Tanya Idach, there was a similar braisa that was taught, not with regards to Hilchas mezuzah, but as we're going to see, with regards to the halachos of nigei batim. So we're familiar with the concept of mitzayra. Mitzayra, Hilchas nigaim, klach etzel nigaim ve'aholis, some of the more intense sugyas and shas. A person can become a mitzayra, a bias can become a mitzayra, and a beged can't become a mitzayra. So this particular braisa is discussing the halachos of nigei batim. Says the braisa, beis ha-knesses, u beis ha-shutfin, u beis ha-isha. A beis ha-knesses is a shul. A beis ha-shutfin is a house that's owned by partners. U beis ha-isha, that's a house that's owned by a woman. Mitame b'negon. The halacha is, they're subject to the laws of negon. Why would you think that these houses are not subject to the laws of negon? If any one of these houses would have a nega, you would think, for sure, they should be subject to the law. So the Gemara says, oh, there's a chiddush. I would have thought, it says in the Torah, uba ashaloi habayis. And I would have thought, it says loy. And from there we learn, loy v'loy la. Number one, loy is a lashon zachar, as opposed to a beis ha'isha, which is a lashon nekeva. And loy v'loy lahem, it's also a lashon yachid, as opposed to lahem, which would suggest rabbi. So you would have thought, based on the pasuk of uba ashaloi habayis, that perhaps the only time there's a chiyuv of nigei batim is loy Zachar and Lo Yachid, as opposed to Beis HaIsha, which is Nekeva, and Beis HaChutfin and Beis HaKnesset, which is Rabin, Kamash Malon. That's the Chiddush of the Braisa. Frank the Gemara Ve'ema Hachinami, Ef Shetaka, meaning if it says in the Torah, Ubash, Loi Habayis, and Loi is Mashma Loshin Zachar, Loi is Mashma Loshin Nekeva, so it's Mashma Loshin Yachid, so how do you know, in fact, that a Beis HaIsha and a Beis HaKnesset and Beis HaChutfin are obligated? So the Gemara says, oh, my brother's another Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Beveis Eretz Achu Zaschem, and we learn from the word achuzaschem, which is a lashon rabbin, it's coming to be mar, but even those houses that you would have thought are excluded. At least if we don't use the word light to be mamay beis ha'isha, we don't use the word light to be mamay beis ha'knesses or beis ha'shutvin, so what do we use the word light? Why would the Torah write such a misleading word? It's probably coming to teach me something. So the Gemara says it is. Misha miyachid beis ha'loy. The Torah is coming to say is that the only person that has to be concerned that maybe his house will suddenly have a nega and become a mitzayra is a person. He's someone that keeps his bias loy. He keeps it for himself. So for example, he doesn't want to lend out his kelim. He says, I don't have anything. So what's going to happen is Hashem is going to be mefarsim. How's it going to be mefarsim? Because one of the things that a person has to do if his house somehow gets a nega is he has to take all his kelim and he has to bring them outside. So when he removes the kelim from his house, everyone's going to see what's going on in his house. So you want to know what the word loy is coming to teach us? It's coming to say loy. Someone that's miyachid beisoy loy. Someone that's selfish. Someone that says shali shali v'shalach shalach. That type of person, he's uva asher loy habayis. It's only dafka, someone like him, that has to be concerned about the laws of the nigei batim. As opposed to someone that's mashal kelev lacherim, someone like that, he does not have to be worried about it. Bottom line is, the Gemara brought a brisa that discussed the laws of nigei batim. Why are we discussing the laws of nigei batim? Pashit, because we brought a brisa that discussed Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaIsha, Beis HaShutfin. You would have thought the pater from mezuzah. The brisa says the chayiv in mezuzah. So in a similar vein, we have a brisa that says Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaShutfin, Beis HaIsha, metame b'negon. Not mezuzah, but metame b'negon. Again, there's a chiddush, because you would have thought there's a pasuk that seems to suggest that it's pater from negon. Kamash malon that there. Now, one of the things the brisa said is subject to the laws of negon is a Beis HaKnesses. Right, the Gemara, is that true? U Beis HaKnesses mi metam ben gam, but you learned in a braisa, yoch, you bought the Knesset, bought the Mizrach, it's not in a gam. I would have thought that a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash should be subject to the laws of Thomas Negam. Tam Bloimar, it says in the Pasuk, Uva Ashaloi HaBayis. And we learn from there, Misha Miyuchidloi, someone that his house is exclusively his, Yatsue, Lusha, and Miyuchadam Loi, as opposed to a Beis HaKnesses, which is not Miyuchid to anybody, it's owned by the whole island. In other words, you have a braisa that blatantly contradicts the first brisa that we began the daf with. We began the daf with a brisa based on Knesset as metam ben agon. Here we have a mafurish brisa. Yochel, you would have thought, but the Knesset should be metam ben agon. Tam b'leimer that it's not. So the Gemara is going to say three terusim to this kasha. The first terus is like kasha harameh harabon. It's true, it's a steer. The two brises can't be reconciled. However, as we'll see, it's really machlekes tano in this halacha. One brisa is going like one tana, the other brisa is going like the other tana. So who are the tana? One's Ramey or one's Rabbanon. What's the source to this machloikas Ramey and the Rabbanon? The Tanya, we learned in a brisa. And this brisa the Gemara is going to bring is not discussing the laws of Tumas Negoyim, but rather it's discussing the laws of Mezuzah. Beis HaKnesses, Sheyeshba, Beis Dira, Lechazan HaKnesses. A Beis HaKnesses that has a Beis Dira in it, where the Chazan HaKnesses, where the Shamus lives. Chayib and Mezuzah. Such a Beis HaKnesses is Chayib and Mezuzah. Why? Because it's a Beis Dira. Sheimba Beis Dira. If it doesn't have a Beis Dira, Ramey or Mechayib, you're going to be chayiv, and the Chachamim say you're going to be potter. In other words, a Beis HaKnesses that doesn't have a Beis Dira, is it going to be chayiv in mezuzah, or is it not going to be chayiv in mezuzah? If it has a Beis Dira, everyone agrees it's chayiv in mezuzah. The question is, what if there's no Beis Dira? A Meir says chayiv, the Chachamim say potter. Zok the Gemara, just like we have a machloikas Remeir in the Chachamim with regards to Hilchas Mezuzah, so too we have the same machloikas Remeir in the Chachamim with regards to Hilchas Tumas Negon. Now, at first glance, what's the connection between the two? So, Pasha Pshat is because just like we have the drosha of Uba Shaloi Habayis, which would seem to suggest it has to be Meyuchid Loi, so too we have the drosha of Uchsavtem Al Mezuzah Is Beisecha, which would seem to suggest the same thing. So the Gemara is tining that if you hold that a Beis HaKnesses is chayiv in mezuzah, so that means you don't darshan uchsavtam al mezuzah is beis secha, that it has to be owned singularly, or you have to be able to identify who the owners are. So if that's the case, there'll be no difference between mezuzah and negon. And if you do darshan beis secha l'me'ute, so then you should darshan uba shalai abayis with regards to tumas negon as well. So at the end of the day, even though they're technically two different halachas, but being that they're bound together by this common piece, which is Uchsavtam al mezuzah is beisecha. What about a Beis HaKnesses? Uva shaloi habayis. What about a Beis HaKnesses? Says for that reason, says the Gemara, if you have a stira, two braisos, as it relates to Beis HaKnesses, Tumas Negam, I can tell you that the same machloik as you have, Ramey and the Rabbanon and the mezuzah, is true by Tumas Negam. And as it relates to these braisos, one brais is going according to Ramey, the other brais is going according to Rabbanon. You can say Hava Rabbanon, you can say Mopash. Maybe both brais are going according to Rabbanon. You don't have to come on to Ramey. For like, Kasha, Hadibis Beis Dira, Hadalas, Beis Dira. Even the Rabbanan Amoida, that a Beis HaKnesses that has a Beis Dira is going to be Chayiv in Mezuzah. So the Braisa that says a Beis HaKnesses is Chayiv in Tumas Negoyim. It's talking about where there was a Beis Dira. Just like even the Chachamim agree it's Chayiv in Mezuzah, so too even the Chachamim are going to agree that it's going to be subject to Tumas Negoyim. The Braisa that says that there's no Tumas Negoyim by a Beis HaKnesses, it's talking about where there was no Beis Dira. We're going according to the Chachamim that all the Beis HaKnesses that has no Beis Dira doesn't have Mezuzah. If there's no Mezuzah, there's no Tumas Negoyim either. Or you could say a third Teretz. Hava Hadalaspa Beis Dira. Maybe both Braises are talking about where there was no Beis Dira, and both Braises are going really according to the Chachamim that hold that a Beis HaKnesses is potter from mezuzah. So if that's the case, for sure the halacha should be that you're exempt from the laws of Tumas Nagan, the Hadik Krakim, the Hadik Kfar. But as it relates to this Shaila, we're talking about two different types of Batik Knesias. Either a Beis, one is talking about a Beis HaKnesses of a Krach of the larger cities, and the other is talking about a Beis HaKnesses of a Kmar, which was some of the smallest. Now, what's the difference between a Krach and a Kfar? So let's see Rashi inside. The top two Rashis, Yud Beis Amad Aleph. The Krakim, Shumakim, Shvakim. It's a place where there are streets, Umiskatzim, Shomim, Kaimis Harbe. And people used to gather there from many different places. And it's a shul that was built for anyone that wants to daven. This is a public shul. This is a shul where people come to from all over the world. Such a shul has no owner in halacha. And as a result, it's potter from mezuzah. And as a result, it's also going to be exempt from the laws of Tumas Nagam. A kfar is a small shtetl. You have 20 talesim. Everyone knows who they are. Everyone has their role in the shul. So a shul like that is considered a shul that has bailam in halacha. It's no different than an ordinary Beis HaChutvin, where the halach is going to be that you're going to be a chayv. So the bottom line is we had a stira, a Beis HaKnesses, a shul. Is it subject to Tumas Nagam? Is it not subject to Tumas Nagam? The first price that the Gemara brought was, it is. Then the Gemara brought a price that it's not. So the Gemara, what's the teretz? So one of three possibilities. Either Harameh or Harabam. Just like this Machalis Ramein Rabbanon, where the Beis HaKnesses is a chayv and mezuzah. So you could say that's the two prices over here. Same shayla mezuzah you're going to have with regards to Tumas Nagam. The Iba is saying that maybe both prices are going according to Rabbanon. One is where there was a Beis stira, one was no Beis Tira. Just like the Chachamim who argue with Rameh and Mezuzah agree with there's a Beis HaTira, Yechayv and Mezuzah, so too for Tumas Nagam, they'll agree if there's a Beis HaTira, there's Tumas Nagam. The price that says there's no Tumas Nagam, I'm talking about there was no Beis HaTira. Or you can say that both are going according to Rabbanon, both are talking about where there was no Beis Dira. However, Hadik Krak and the Hadik Farm, the whole sheet that's a Chachamim, that a Beis HaKnesses that doesn't have a Beis Dira is exempt from Mezuzah, is talking about the Beis HaKnesses, Shehumakim, Shvakim, Umiskapzim, Shamim, Mekoymois Harbe. That type of shul, very, very large shul. Small shul, the Chachamim never said that Allah Chabbai. Small shul is like a Beis HaShutvin. Chachamim didn't say a Beis HaShutvin spotted from Mezuzah. They said a Beis HaKnesses is spotted from Mezuzah. A Beis HaKnesses of a Kfar is like a Beis HaShutvin. And therefore, over there, even the Chachamim are going to agree that you're going to be Chayiv and Mezuzah. But the Gemara asks a Kasha. And this Kasha is going to take us to a little bit of a digression and really one of the more famous Gemaras in Shas, a real classic Gemara, both with ramifications in halacha and in agada. So the Gemara says, with the krachim im tam ben gan, is that true? A Beis HaKnesses that's in a krach, according to the Chachamim, the halacha is not metam ben gan, but tanyo. We learned in the Braisa, it says in the Torah, achu zaschem. So again, this is in the parsha of Tumas Negoim. V'nosati negat zaras, beveis eretz achu zaschem. We learn from there, achu zaschem metam ben gan. Your achuza is metam ben gan. V'ein Yerushalayim metam ben gan. But Yerushalayim is not metam ben gan. So Yerushalayim didn't have Tumas Negoim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda commented, he said, ani lo shamati el amokah mikdash bovat. Meaning, I agree, I heard something about Yerushalayim and Tumas Nagam, but I heard it regarding the Makam HaMikdash. I never heard all the Shtiblach in any place in Yerushalayim. I heard the Makam HaMikdash, says the Gemara. What does it sound like? The Makam HaMikdash, Ha-Bate Knesses, Ha-Bate Midrashes, Betam HaBinagam. Meaning, if you're going to tell me that every Beis HaKnesses and every Beis Medrash of the rabbin of a big city, of the Kraken, are really exempt from the halachas of Tumas Nagam. So why would Rabbi Yehuda have ever heard that the Makam HaMikdash is exempt from Tumas Nagam? The Makam HaMikdash is the greatest Beis HaKnesses in the world. So if every Beis HaKnesses is excluded from Tumas Nagam, certainly the Makam HaMikdash would be. So the Gemara is timing from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said that the Makam HaMikdash doesn't have Tumas Nagam. Ani lo shamati el Makam HaMikdash bovad. Zoysay meres. You can imply from there that Bati Knesis of Bati Midrash Amitam ben Nagam. Zok to Marv Afalgav the Kraken Ninu. Even though they belong to the Kraken. So the Gemara says you have to say it's a good kasha, but we'll tweak the language of Rabbi Yehuda and we'll be able to get out of this. Am Rabbi Yehuda ani lo shamati el Makam HaMikdash bovad. When Rabbi Yehuda said ani lo shamati, he didn't say Elamokim Mikdash Bovad. That would imply a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis Medrash of a Krach does have Tumas Nagam. What he said was, Anilai Shemati Elamokim Mekudesh. Mokim Mekudesh doesn't just mean the Beis HaMikdash, it means any place of Kedusha. It's very inclusive and it includes in it any public area, but it includes even the Bati Knesses and the Bati Midrashes. The point is, we thought that this Rabbi Yehuda's comment had some connection to our Shmuz. It really doesn't. So we just mentioned a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether Yerushalayim is metame b'negoim or Yerushalayim is not metame b'negoim. The Braisa said,
Achuzaschem metame b'negon, ve'en Yerushalayim metame b'negon. Rabbi Yehuda said, ani lo shanati el makom mikdash bavat. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes? Tanakama sava tanakama holds Yerushalayim lo neschalku l'shvatim. Yerushalayim wasn't divided amongst the shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda sava Yerushalayim neschalku l'shvatim. That really Yerushalayim was neschalku b'shvatim. So before the Gemara continues, so what? Because it says v'nasati negat zaras beves eretz achuzaschem. Achuzaschem sounds like a place that the Yitin yarshin. If Yerushalayim was neschalku l'shvatim, when Yeshua ben Nun elazar kohen gadol. During the 14 years when they first entered Eretz Yisrael, if when they divvied up the land, they included in the division Yerushalayim, so it's based Eretz Achuzaschem just like any other part of Eretz Yisrael. There's no reason it shouldn't be subject to the laws of Tumas Negot. If you hold Yerushalayim was loin eschalku l'shvatim, so then it would be different. So the Gemara says that's the machlokes. The Tanna Kama says there's no Tumas Negot in Yerushalayim. Why Yerushalayim loin eschalku l'shvatim? Rabbi Yehuda holds there is Tumas Negot in Yerushalayim. He holds Yerushalayim eschalku l'shvatim. And the Gemara says it's a precedent for this machlokes. What was Bechelkei Shel Yehuda? So Yehuda and Binyamin, as we're about to see, they both had a chelek of the Harabayis inside their respective Nachla. So when Eretz Yisrael was divided, the Harabayis was divided with it. So in whose shevet was the Harabayis? So it was really partially in Chelkei Shel Binyamin and partly in Chelkei Shel Yehuda. This has historical significance when you learn Nach. That's why Binyamin and Yehuda, they were the two Shvatim. And then you had the Aseres HaShvatim. They were very different. The Aseres HaShvatim went to Golos at some point. They had their own Malchus, etc. But the point is that the Mokem HaMikdash, the Harabayis, was really partially the Chelkei Shel Yehuda and was partly the Chelkei Shel Binyamin. So this Bryce is addressing what specific part of the Harabayis was the Chelkei Shel Yehuda and what specific part of the Harabayis was the Chelkei Shel Binyamin. Harabayis, halishkois, all the chambers, ha'azarois, mahoy bechalkei shel binyamin, ulam, the heichal, ubeis kachei hakadosh. Says the Brice, ritzua hoy seyoytze michalkei shel Yehuda, v'nechneses chalkei shel binyamin. There was one part of chalkei shel binyamin that really should have been bechalkei shel binyamin, that really was bechalkei shel Yehuda. Ritzua hoy seyoytze is michalkei shel Yehuda, meaning there was a strip of land that was part of Chelkei Shel Yehuda that entered Chelkei Shel Binyamin and entered the area where technically you would have expected it to be Chelkei Shel Binyamin. No, this was a part of Chelkei Shel Yehuda that you really could have, would have, should have thought would have been part of Chelkei Shel Binyamin. And Binyamin knew that. And you know what was there? Ubaha Yimizbeach Banim. Mizbeach was built there. Ubinyamin Atzadik Hoy Mitztarila Labala B'chayim. And it bothered Binyamin Atzadik terribly, the fact that he was missing this little piece of land. So much so that he used to literally think every day, what could I do? He was Bitsar, Lavala. He wanted to swallow it back. He wanted to get the Makam Mizbeach. Why shouldn't the Makam Mizbeach be in his Rishus? How do you know it bothered Binyamin so badly? Shem, it's a pasuk. Chayfiv Alav Kalayim. It says, Binyamin Amar, Yedid Hashem, Yishkoin Lavete Chalav. Binyamin is a Yedid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yishkoin Levetech Olav, this was a remez Chazal took to say that the Beis HaMikdash was Bechelkei Shel Binyamin. Choyfev Olav Kol HaYoyim Uvein Ksef Av Shachem. So what's this Choyfev Olav Kol HaYoyim? He wanted this piece of, says the Gemara, Leficha, because Binyamin wanted it so badly, Zachar Binyamin, Atzadik V'Nasu Ushpizchon L'Gvura. Even though Binyamin never got the Makom HaMizbeach, but he was the Ushpizchon L'Gvura. Whenever the Shekhinah rested, it always rested Bechelkei Shel Binyamin. So you have to know what this means. It obviously means something other than the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is what exactly that means. For another day, Shenemar Ubeng Seif of Shachin. It was always resting between the shoulders of Binyamin. Either way, so what do you see from here? That there's a machloikis, there's a Tana, at the very least, that holds that Yerushalayim was Neschalka L'Shvatim. I mean, we're talking about the Harabayis, and it was Neschalka L'Shvatim. Binyamin had a chelik of it, and Yehuda had a chelik of it, so clearly Yerushalayim was Neschalka L'Shvatim. Okay, who's the Tana that holds Yerushalayim was Loi Neschalka L'Shvatim? Hey, Tana, Sabi Yerushalayim, Loi Neschalka L'Shvatim. Tana, you've been learning to the Bais, I'm asking about the Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to rent your house in Yerushalayim. If you say, Yerushalayim, it doesn't belong to you. So if you have a house in Yerushalayim, it's not something you're allowed to rent because it's not yours. Blood's about Tzadik Omer, Aflei Mitois, you're not allowed to rent beds. The fichach is for that reason. So when people used to stay in other people's apartments, they didn't charge rent, but at the same time, they used to really old school try to get from them at least the skins of all the animals that they brought as karbanas, because epis you have to give me. At least leave me a tip. Be nice. But charging rent, that was something that you're not allowed to do. It'd be very nice to bring your host the proverbial bottle of wine, you bring him a little skin of an animal, or you bring him something. But the point is, you see from here, two braises. In one braise, it's mevur that Yerushalayim wasn't schalke l'shvatim, Yehuda, Binyamin, Chayfei Valov Kalayim, and another braise, it's mevur that Yerushalayim was loin schalke l'shvatim. So going back to the original kasha, where we began the daf began with a steer between two braises. One braise, the Beis HaKnesses says, Chayiv in Tumas Nagam. There's another braise that says that Beis HaKnesses is not subject to Tumas Nagam. We had a steer, the Gemara said, three terutzim. One terutz is Harameh HaRabbanon. The third teretz was hadik krak in the hadik kfar, meaning both going according to the rabbanon. Both are talking about where there was no beis dira. One's going according to rabbanon, the other one is going. One is talking about the krak, other one's talking about a kfar. A krak, that's a beis haknesses in a very large city. Shumakim shvakim umeskatzim shami munkaymais harbe v'yasuya lekoila bala spalav ein lo baylam yuchadim. As opposed to the kfarim, the chol baylam nikarim v'areu kebeisa hashnotvim. But the Gemara says the kfarim mitam ben agam. Is that true that a beis haknesses of a kfar is mitam ben agam? Tanya we learn to the brayso. So it says in the Torah kisavoyu el eretz kenan asher ani noisin lochem lachuzo v'nosati negat zaras beveis eretz achuzaschem. This is the pasuk that talks about nigei batim. It says lach. We learn from here that there's no laws of nige batim until the land was actually conquered. Once the land was conquered, but wasn't divided yet to the shvatim. Or if it was divided amongst the shvatim, but it wasn't divided within the shvatim amongst the families, or better, what if it was divided amongst the families? Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about in the times of Yeshua Benum, but it wasn't subdivided within to each individual person. Minayin, how do you know that the halacha is that you're still not going to have the laws of Tumas Negayim? Talmud loymar uva shaloya. That you see from here that it has to be miyuchid. And if you own a piece of a house, but your ownership is not identifiable yet, it belongs to your family, but what your chelik in it is still a little bit unclear. So then the halacha says no negei batim. What's the point? You see from here there's a tana somewhere that holds. There's a concept that if you own a house, or it's owned by people, but the ownership of the individual people that own it is not identifiable. It's not miyuchadim lohem. Said Allah is you don't have tumas negayim. Now, beis haknesses of a kfar, you would think is similar to this scenario that we just laid out. So, if that's the case, you see for sure there's a tana that holds that a beis haknesses of a kfar would be a place, a bias that wouldn't be subject to the laws of tumas negayim. So, if that's the case, a beis haknesses of a kfar wouldn't be subject to the laws. So the Gemara's teretz that it said on top of the Yom, that maybe according to the Rabbanan that hold that a Beis HaKnesses doesn't have Negayim, it's not Chayv and Mezuzah, maybe a Kfar is different. It's not Mashma that way, because from this Brayso it seems that even a Beis HaKnesses of a Kfar would potentially be on the outside looking in. So the Gemara says if that's the case, we had three Terutzim and we knocked out the third Teretz, Ela Machvarta Kedeshana Meikara, must be we have to say either Teretz A or we have to say Teretz B. So just one ha'ara, just to exhale for a second, before we go weiter. So we really just concluded a sugya that began on the bottom of the Yud Amid Aleph, the whole Yud Amid Beis, the whole Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, the whole Yud Aleph Amid Beis, and the majority of Yud Beis Amid Aleph. So a little bit of a sugya tucked away. It began with the laws of Mezuzah, and it ended with the classic Gemara, Yerushalayim Neschalke L'Shvatim, or Yerushalayim Loi Neschalke L'Shvatim, specifically the Braisa that brings the Tana that holds that Yerushalayim was Neschalke L'Shvatim. In fact, it was divided between Binyamin and Yehuda, and the midpoint, really, the line in the sand, was literally in the Har Habayis. In fact, it was so granular that there was one mukim that should have been Bechelke Shal Binyamin that ended up being Bechelke Shal Yehuda. Just one interesting Mara Mukim, one interesting Ha'ara that really ties this sugya together in an ironic way, and that is the halacha is that when you clap mezuzahs, so it's supposed to be on the top third of the door. In fact, it's supposed to be perfect. It's supposed to be on the top third, wherever the third is, that's where you're supposed to put the bottom of your mezuzah. That's really the way mezuzahs are supposed to be. There's a shayla in the Pesach, in the Beis Yosef, discusses what happens if you have a very, very high ceiling. So the door is very, very tall. So if you're going to put it on the top shlish of the goiva of the dalis, so it's going to end up being very tall, the mezuzah. The kleine kindlech are going to have a hard time pushing the mezuzah. So the question is, in terms of halacha, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to put it shlish of the Delas, that's where it belongs. Or maybe because it's so high, you're supposed to put it somewhere else. So the Taz in Hilchis Mezuzah, this in Yerudei Asim in Reish Pei Taz, it's in Sifkot and Gimel. He quotes the Beis Yosef. He says, "Mavur be Beis Yosef b'shem Amorcha." The Imi Gavoya Harbe, let's say the Pesach is very, very high. Ein lasis ha-mezuzah gavoya mikseifa. You should never put the mezuzah higher than shoulder length. Da'oz eino nira le'eino b'knisa v'yitzia. Because if it's going to be taller than shoulder length, then when you walk in and out of the house, you're not going to see the mezuzah. That defeats the whole purpose of the mezuzah. You're supposed to see it. And because you're supposed to see it, that's where you're supposed to put it. Says the Taz, v'smach l'dova nira li. I have a little bit of a remnant to this chiddush of the Beis Yosef. B'posik, it says, l'binyamin amar. You did Hashem Yishkon Lovetach Olav Choyfev Olav Kol Hayoyin Ubeik Seifav Shochein. Says the Taz. You know what the pasuk is coming to say? We're talking about Ashrois Ashchin, and Ashrois Ashchin of Abayis is through the mezuzah. And the pasuk says Ubeik Seifav Shochein. See for me that a mezuzah, even though it's supposed to be in the shlish, that's on the upper part of the mezuzah, but at the same time, Ubeik Seif of Shachin. So there's an idea it shouldn't be higher than your shoulder length. What's the makar? It's Ubeik Seif of Shachin, just putting the sugi a little bit together. We'll return to this in the raid bite. But for now, we still have a daf to finish. Zokti Gemara. So the Mishnah said, Umaskinan loy koyanach. So one of the things that we're done before Yom Kippur. Shivas Yomim Koidim Yemakipur Mafishin Koin Godomi Besai Lelishkas Barhechin. Halacha number one. Halacha number two. Maskina loy koyin achetachta. They would appoint a second koyin gadol. Shema yerabai psal. And the purpose of the second koyin gadol was, is in the event that the first koyin gadol, the koyin gadol, becomes possible. So if he's possible, he won't be able to do the avodah. So we have to have a backup plan. So what's the backup plan? Maskinin loy koyin achatachim. Now what kind of psul are we worried about? So Rashi in the Mishnah said, "Amyera by psul keri yishar tuma hamaakvin milavoy lemikdash." So of course we have to be medayik l'shoyne yazov shal Rashi. But at the same time, the high level of what Rashi's saying is we're worried that he's going to become tamei. If the kohen gadol becomes tamei, so the kohen gadol won't be able to do the avodah. Rashi says he won't even be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So if he won't be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Now, don't tell me Tumah Hutra Betzibur, Tumah Tchoye Betzibur, because that's only by Tumas Meis, maybe Tumas Sheretz. But Rashi says, Tumas Keri, Oishar Tumah HaMa'akvin Lovei LeMikdash, meaning Rashi's Bavarning. There are Tumas that wouldn't be Ma'akiv the person from entering the Beis HaMikdash. But what about Tumas Keri or some other Tumah? That's what we're worried about, and that's why we had to appoint a backup Kohen Gadol. Now, the halacha is, in order for someone to do the Avodah for the first time, he had to have some process of inauguration. In order for the Kohen Gadol to begin doing the Avodah as the Kohen Gadol, he too would have to have an inauguration. Kohen Hedyot had to go through his process, the Kohen Gadol had to go through his process. It's what we know in the vernacular as chinuch. The Kohen needed to go through some chinuch process, not chinuch simply learning the halachas, but some ritualistic process that he had to go through in order for him to now be roy, to be able to do the Avodah. Now, once upon a time, when it was Shonim Kitikuna, the way every Kohen was Nischanich to do the Avodah, or Kohen Gadol was Nischanich to do the Avodah, was with the Shemen HaMishcha. So on the first day that a Kohen Gadol would do the Avodah, they would take the Shemen HaMishcha in the way that's outlined in Mesach Tishkolim and in Mesach Tishkrisus, and he would have the Shemen HaMishcha poured on him, and now he was ready to be able to do the Avodah. And this was true for every single Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah says, Moishchin Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol, even though a Moishchin Melech ben Melech, but when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, even a Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol. Then there was a time where we didn't have the Shemen HaMishcha anymore. Yeshio HaMelech hid the Shemen HaMishcha when he hit the Arim, and we didn't have it anymore. So what was plan B? The Kohen Gadol would wear his Shmoyna Begadim, and when he was wearing the Shmoyna Begadim, he would do an Avodah, and the first Avodah that he did with the Shmoyna Begadim, it's Titei V'yadei Ban Ke'echa. The two things happened at the same time. He now became a Kohen Gadol. So ideally, Shemen HaMishcha, but there's a good plan B. The plan B is to do it with Ribui Begadim. So says the Gemara, what happens if the Kohen Gadol's worst nightmare took place? He became Tamei on Yom Kippur. Now what? Says the Gemara, Pshito, Irabai Pasal Kaidin Tamash Al Shachar. If he became possible before the Tamash Al Shachar, Chanchon is the Tamash Al Shachar. It's very easy. So the Tamash Al Shachar, that's the carbon that's going to be brought really, really early in the morning. The Kohen Gadol is bringing it on Yom Kippur because the Kohen Gadol does all the Avodah on Yom Kippur. When the Kohen Gadol did the Tamash Al Shachar, Yom Kippur in the morning, he wore the Shmoyna Begadim. The only time the Kohen Gadol changed his clothing was when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So all the avodas that he did outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for the most part, he was wearing his Shmoyne Begadim. When he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in Kateger Nasa Saneger, that's when he had to switch his clothing. So that's Pashut, says the Gemara, in the event that the Kohen Gadol became Tomei before the Tomei Shal Shachar. So the new Kohen Gadol, he needs to go through this Chinuch process in order for him to be able to do the Avodah. What's the Chinuch? He'll just put on the Shmoyne Begadim, do an Avodah. Right? You don't just put on the Begadim, you do an Avodah. So he'll wear the Shmoyne Begadim, he'll bring the Tomei Shal Shachar, be good. El Irbay, Psalachar, Tomei Shal Shachar. But if it became possible after the Tomei Shal Shachar, says the Gemara, but my Mechan Chinoisoi, right? Now he has to do an avodah, and being that he has to do the avodah, Rashi Hari avodas yom kippurim she'achar hatamid barba begadimi. At this point, the next avodas that he's going to be doing is going to require not the shmoyne begadim, but rather the dalit begadim. And if it's going to require the dalit begadim, so how is the koyein going to have his chinuch? What, he's going to do the avodah wearing the dalit begadim? The Gemara assumes right now, Kshmaki Gemara coming up, that the Dalit Begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur when he wasn't wearing the Shmoyne Begadim were the Dalit Begadim every Kohen Eved wore. So if that's the case, he's not wearing any unique Begadim. So if he's not wearing any unique Begadim, for Eitig Gemara, where's the Chinuch going to be? Bishloim, if he's wearing Kohen Gadol the Begadim, he'll do the Avodah wearing the special Begadim, that's how he becomes the Kohen Gadol. But if right now he's anyways wearing the Dalit Begadim, he can't wear the Shmoyne Begadim because the Avodah doesn't warrant it. So if that's the case, how is he even being the Kohen Gadol? That's the cash in the Gemara. Amar Avada Bar Ahava. So Avada Bar Ahava said, Ba'avnei. He's going to, no, it's not true. He's going to wear Dal Begadim. The Dal Begadim is the same as the Kohen Hedid. It's true. It's the same for Begadim, but it's not. Because the Avnate is different. The Avnate that the Kohen Hedid wore the whole year is different than the Avnate that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur. Zok the Gemara, 1 second. We know it's a major Shiloh. Now, a little bit of background. The Kohen Gadol's Avnate the whole year was made of shatness. It's a pasuk in the Torah. The Kohen Gadol's Avnate on Yom Kippur was made of butz. It was made of linen. That's not a shayla. The question was, the Kohen Hedyot's Avnate the whole year, was it made of kalayim, like the Kohen Gadol's Avnate the whole year, or was it made of butz? It was made of linen, like the Kohen Gadol's Avnate on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Gishmak, according to Mandama, that says that the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol is the same as the Avnate of the Kohen Hedyot, which means that if the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol the whole year was kalayim, the Avnate of the Kohen Hedyot was also kalayim. Now, the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he was wearing the Dal Begadim, was not kalayim. So it means he's wearing a new Avnate. If he's wearing a new Avnate, that's the way the Chinuch is going to happen. It's going to happen through this new Avnate. But according to Mandama that says that the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol was not the Avnate of the Kohen Hedyot, that means the whole year the Kohen Hedyot wore an Avnate of butz, not like the Kohen Gadol the whole year that wore an Avnate of Kelayim. That means the Avnate of the Kohen Hedyot the whole year is the same as the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he's wearing the Dal Begadim. So if they're both wearing the same Avnate, that means there's nothing unique about the Avnate. He doesn't have an Avnate that's different. He can't wear the Shmoyne Begadim because the Avodah doesn't warrant it. Let's assume we're talking about Bayi Sheni, Zogin the Rishonim. We don't have Shemen HaMishcha, because otherwise that would be the easy answer. Be Mechanachim with the Shemen HaMishcha. So we don't have the Shemen HaMishcha. So how are we going to be Mechanachim? Amar Abayas, Abayas said, Loi v'shmoinu mehapach betzinayra. You know what we're going to do? We're going to attempt to put on the Shmoyne Begadim, go to the fire where the Akhtar is being done, and just move a little something. Be mehapach betzinayra. Take something and move. Ravuna said that a zar that does this is chayv misa, because haktar is one of the four misas for which a zar is chayv misa. And he said, did Ravuna, that just being mehapach betzinayra, taking your fork and mishing something a little bit, is already tantamount to doing a full-fledged haktar. If it's haktar, it's an avoida. So who said it has to be one of the prescribed avoidas? You go off script for a moment. Let the Kohen Gadol put on his Shmoyne Begadim, he'll go to the base, to the fire, be mehapach betzinayra. He just did an avoida. How do you know it's an avoida? Oh, because the Zohar does, he's chayv misa. So obviously it's an avoida. Once he did an avoida, now he's the Kohen Gadol. Now he could put on the Dal Begadim, he'll do the avoida. Rapapa said a different teretz. He said, avoidasoi mechan chasoi. Ordinarily, chinuch happens either with the Shemen HaMishcha or by putting on Shmoyne Begadim. But on Yom Kippur, there's another way for chinuch to take place. You know what you do? You do the avodah on Yom Kippur. So you're going to say, what do you mean? No, because what's the point of chinuch? You act like a Kohen Gadol. That's what it is. You wear the shmein of a Gadol like the Kohen Gadol. It's like a kinyan. What's a kinyan? You act like you're the owner. Nal gadol uparatz. Showing ownership is ownership, creates ownership. That's the yisoid of kinyanim, right? So that's the same idea. That's how chinuch works. Act like the kohen gadol. Doing the avoid on Yom Kippur, it doesn't matter which begadim you wear, is acting like a kohen gadol. Why? Because the gantz avoid on Yom Kippur had to happen with the kohen gadol. I am top Rashi, l'shoyne yazov. So you don't need the begadim. Ordinarily, you would need the begadim. What are you going to do? You're going to do the tamei shel shachar? Any kohen could do the tamei shel shachar. Narvas, oh, I did it with the shemayne begadim. But on Yom Kippur, just doing the avoid in and of itself is going to miss. Dr. Midoy Tanya, didn't we learn in a brayse? You see by the kalim, right? What was the kalim? The kalim also needed a chinuch. So what was the chinuch with the kalim? Kalim needed a chinuch just like the Anim did. So either Shemen HaMishcha, what if when there was no Shemen HaMishcha, he did the Avodah with it. There was no begadim that you put on the kalim. It was just merely doing Avodah. Here too, the Avodah can do the chinuch. So we mentioned this discussion because the Gemara is just pondering a little bit of a question. What would be if the Kohen Gadol actually became Tom? We're going to talk in the coming days about whether it ever happened, etc. But what would be if it happened? The Kohen Gadol suddenly became Tom. So now the backup Kohen Gadol, this is his moment that he's been waiting for. He gets to slip right in and he takes over the reins and he's now going to be the Shliach Tzibur for Klal Yisrael. The question is, he needs some chinuch. He's never been the Kohen Gadol. So now he's going to act as the Kohen Gadol for the first time. You have to do something. Bayis Rishon Shemen HaMishcha. It's Bayis Sheni. We don't have Shemen HaMishcha now. So if we don't have Shemen HaMishcha, what are you going to do? So you put on the Shemayna Begadim. What if it happened at a time that you can't wear the Shemayna Begadim? So the Gemara says two terutzim. Either put on the Shemayna Begadim, be Mahapach Betzinoir, or just doing the Avoida, even with the Dal Begadim, in and of itself wouldn't be enough. But one thing the Gemara said was that the whole Kasha, this whole issue, is only an issue if you hold that the Avnate that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur when he wore the Dal Begadim was not what was the same avnate that the Kohen Hedi used to wear the whole year. If the avnates were different, however, then it's not a kasha, because even the Dalit Begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur, you have the concept of Begadim being different. It's Kohen Gadol to get Begadim, because it's not the same. What's that Shaila? The Shaila is the avnate of the Kohen Gadol the whole year was shatnez. The avnate of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was made of linen, but there was a major Shaila. What about the avnate of the Kohen Hedi the whole year? Again, Kohen Gadol the whole year, Kalayim. Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, linen. What about the Kohen Hedi the whole year? So that was a Shaila, and that's what the Gemara was toilet in. So says the Gemara, on that note, this Shaila, the Avnate of the Kohen Hedi, he also Rav Dimi Yama, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Dimi was one of the Talmidim of Bavel. He went to learn in Eretz Yisrael, primarily by the great Rabbi Yochanan. He came back to Bavel, and he said over things that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara said, Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said the following, Avnate Toisho Kohen Hedi. As it relates to the avnate of the Kohen Hedi, Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. Eretz Yisrael, Mezokt, that it was a machlokes, Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon. I'll be honest with you, I don't know who said what. I didn't hear. But I know it was a machlokes, Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon. One said the avnate of the Kohen Hedi was Kalayim, meaning it was like the avnate of the Kohen Gadol the whole year. The Chadam Shal Butz, one said it was made out of linen, which means it was not like the avnate of the Kohen Gadol the whole year. Zokt Gemara. So Rav Dimi didn't know who said what, but this time the Rebbe Yudam Shal Kalayim. L'chayru, we can bring a rai. Rebbe's the one that said that the avnate of the Kohen Hedi was Kalayim. Kohen Hedid, Allah Avnet, Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe said there's no difference between the Kohen Gadol's Begadim and the Kohen Hedid's Begadim, other than the Avnet, the Gartel. Rebbe Loz, Rebbe Shimon, Oimer, Afloy Avnet, even not the Gartel. Look at my Amos. What's this price of talking about? In Amos, B'Shayim, Ois HaShana, is it talking about the whole year? Tuva Ikka, Kohen Gadol, Mashamish, B'Shmoyin, V'Hedid, B'Arba. What do you mean? There's no difference between the Kohen Gadol's Begadim and the Kohen Hedid's Begadim, other than the Gartel? The Shemayin Begadim? What happened to that? So obviously we're not talking about the whole year. We must be talking about the Yom HaKodesh. We're talking about the Yom Echad. Right? That's what we're talking about. It's obvious. We're talking about Yom Kippur. So if that's the case, what do you see? You have a machlokes Rebbe and Rav Elazar Shimon. Rebbe said, Eben Kohen Gadol L'Kohen Hedid, Ela Avnet on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, we know, the Avnet was made of Butz. Must be Rebbe holds that Kohen Hedid was different. It was made of Kalai. Oh, so you have it right. Rebbe's the one that holds it was Kalai. Rav Elazar Shimon said, Afloy Avnet. He obviously holds that the Kohen Hedid Avnei was always made out of boats. That's why there was no difference at all. The Dal Begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur and the Dal Begadim the Kohen Hedi wore the whole year was the same. So Rav Dimi didn't know who said what, but the Gemara says it would seem to Stayim that this is the way it is based on this other brayse. But the Gemara says, Amri, lo, you have no rai. Lo, you lo, Mishayim, Mishayim. Maybe that brayse that mentions the machlokes, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Ein Bein Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedi, is really talking about the whole year. What's the kasha? The whole year? What about the Shemayin Begadim? The Gemara says, Mahanech the Shavin. No. We mean the four Begadim that overlap between the Kohen Hedi and the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol had another four Begadim. We don't mean those. We don't need a brayse for that. Everyone knows that's the difference. The question is within the Dal Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, which overlap with the Dal Begadim of the Kohen Hedi. On that, there's an Ein Bein other than the Amne, but it could be we're talking about Yom Kippur. About Yom Kippur, then it's a flipperoo. Then it's just the opposite. Then you have a raya that Rebbe holds that the Kohen Hedid's Avne is different than the Kohen Gadol's Avne on Yom Kippur. which would and Reb Shimon holds the other way around. Zok Demarki Yasa Ravin. So this is where Reb Dimi came back with. Reb Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said, I heard that whether the Kohen Hedyetz Avni was made of Kalayim, was made out of Butz, is a machlokes Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Who said what? I don't know. That's what Reb Dimi came back with. Ravin was another one of the Talmidim of Bavel that went to learn in Eretz Yisrael, also by the great Rabbi Yochanan. And when he came back, he had this piece of information that was missing. When Ravin returned, he said, "Amar Avnei Shel Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim Divrei Hakol Shel Butz." Everyone agrees, Kohen Gadol's Avnei Yom Kippur was Butz. B'Shaya Ma'isa Hashana, everyone holds Divrei Hakol Shel Kalayim. Loi Nechleku, what was the Machloikis? Elab Avnei Shel Kohen Hedyet. The Machloikis between Reb and Reb Shimon was with regards to the Avnei of the Kohen Hedyet. Bein B'Shaya Ma'isa Hashana, bein B'Yom Kippur. I mean, there was no difference. Reb Yom Shel Kalayim. Reb said the Avnei of the Kohen Hedyet was Kalayim. Elazar Shimon said it was made out of lemon. Bottom line is, Rav Ravin said clearly where Rav Dimi wasn't sure. He said it's Machlokes Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Rav Dimi didn't say who, didn't know who said what. He said Chadamar Chadamar. Ravin came back and he said it. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Afana Nami Tanina. We have a brisa that supports what Ravin said. Al Besaroi. It says in the Torah, V'lavash Hakoyim Midoy Bad Umichnesei Bad Gilbash Al Besaroi. Now the context is the beginning of Parashat Tzav, the Hirim Hadeshen. It's talking about the mitzvah of Chumas Hadeshen. So V'lovash HaKoyin Midoy Bad, the Koyin should wear Midoy Bad, U'michnesei Bad Yilbash Al Besari. The Gemara's question is that why does it have to say Yilbash a second time? V'lovash HaKoyin Midoy Bad, U'michnesei Bad Yilbash Al Besari. We started saying V'lovash. Why do we have to say again Yilbash? So the Gemara says, Ma tamaloy me Yilbash, lahavi mitznefes va'avne la ramas hadesh, and divi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said a chiddush. He said, because the Pasuk really mentions two begadim. V'lovash ha'koyim midei bad, that's the ksoinis. U'michnesei bad, Yilbash al-basari, that's the pants, the michnesei. It doesn't say anything about any other kalim. The reason the Torah mentioned Yilbash is l'rabbis, the other two begadim. They tell me the mitznefes and avne are going to be included in the midst of Chumas Hadesh. I mean, there would have been a havamina that Chumas Hadesh is different than the other avoidas. Maybe it doesn't even require four begadim. Kamash Malan, that it requires the four begadim. Reb Doi said no. Lahavi big day koyin gadol b'yom kippurim. The chiddush over here is to teach me the big day koyin gadol on Yom Kippur. Shein ksherim l'koyin hedyet. That if the koyin hedyet wants to wear the big day koyin gadol of Yom Kippur, is allowed to wear. That's the chiddush of this price. The Yilbash is coming to teach you something else. Not that you need four begadim and Chumas Hadesh. Of course you need it. It's an avoid. Why would you think you can't use four begadim? No, the chiddush is that a new halacha that if the koyin hedyet during the year wanted to wear the koyin gadol's begadim, he was allowed to wear it. Now, not the shmeidah begadim. That of course he couldn't wear, but the dalit begadim that the koyin gadol used to wear in Yom Kippur, that he'd be able to wear. Rebbe Yoim. So Rebbe commented. He said, "Shtei tshuvas bedaver." He said, "I have two problems with what Reb Doisa said. Chod, number one, avnei tishkoyin gadol b'yamikmur loyze avnei tishkoyin hedyet. How can he wear that for begadim? It's a different avnei. The koyin gadol's avnei yom kippur is not the same as the koyin hedyet's avnei the whole year. But oit begadim shenishtam shem b'kedusha chamur tishtam shem b'kedusha kal. How are you going to go ahead and you're going to take something the koyin gadol wore and now you're going to use it for the koyin hedyet? It's ma'ilim b'kodesh ve'im meridin elam atamalei meyilbash." So Rebbe said, "You want to know what yilbash means? The Rabbi says ashchokin. It's coming to teach us that if the begadim are worn out a little bit, it doesn't matter. Still, you let it wear. For other Reb Doisa l'tamei, Reb Doisa's l'shitasai. The Tanya we learned to the price. Which Reb Doisa that said that the Kohen Hedyet was allowed to wear the Kohen Gadol's Dalit Begadim, and that's what Yilbash teaches us. The Nicham Sham, it says that after the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol should leave the Begadim there. Malami Shatun and Geniza. Sounds like you had to hide it. It's not Yom Kippur Acher. It's not Ton Geniza. You're allowed to use it. Kohen Gadol just can't use it the following Yom Kippur. But what if a Kohen Hedyet wants to use it? That would be okay. So you see, Reb Doisa L'shitasa holds that if the Kohen Gadol Dalit Begadim were going to be used later by the Kohen Hedyet, that would be okay. So again, what did we just do? The Gemara brought a braisa. V'lovash ha'koyim midei bad, u'michnesei bad yilbash al basari. It's a shtickle wordy over here. Yilbash, we just said v'lovash. Why does it have to say yilbash? Three tanon, Rabbi Yehuda, Reb Doisa, and Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, because this pasuk is only mentioned two of the four begadim. V'lovash ha'koyim midei bad is the kesoines, u'michnesei bad yilbash al basari is the michnesein. We're talking about Chumas Hadeshen. Chumas Hadeshen was like an inferior avoida. So if it was an inferior avoida, so you would have thought that maybe he doesn't even need dal begadim. Yilbash teaches me that you need the dal begadim. Reb Doisa said it's coming to teach me a different chiddush. It's coming to teach me that if the Kohen Hedyet wanted to wear the dal begadim of the Kohen Gadol, the big day boots, that's something he's allowed to wear. Nothing to do with Chumas Hadeshen. If he wanted to wear it, he's allowed to wear it. Rebbe said that it's coming to teach me, L'Rabbi says Ashchokim, that if something happened
to the begodim, so that it wore out a little bit. So that's something you're allowed to wear specifically for the Trumas Hadeshen. It could be even the Katchila to wear worn out begodim, right? You're not supposed to wear the same begodim that you wear when you actually do the Avodah. Three different pshatim. Why are we talking about the three pshatim and how to understand this pasuk in the Trumas Hadeshen in the beginning of Parashat Sav? Because we just want one knach from all this. When Rav Doisa said that Yilbash is coming to teach me that if the Kohen Hedyit wants to wear the Kohen Gadol's Dal begodim the whole year, he can. Rebbe said, Shtei Tshuvas Bedavar. And one of his tshuvas was, it's a different avodah. Us, what do you see from here? That Rebbe must be of the opinion that the Kohen Hedyit's Avnet the whole year was different than the Kohen Gadol's Avnet on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol's Avnet on Yom Kippur, the Dalet Big Day Lovin was made out of boots. Must be Rebbe holds that the Kohen Hedyit's Avnet was made out of Kilayim. If that's the case, this is a testaying. Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said the Kohen Hedyit's Avnet, this great mystery, was it made of linen or was it made of shatnez? Right? What's the bottom line? He says, Machlis Reb Shimon, I don't know who said what. Robin said, I know who said what. Rebbe said Kalayim, Rav Lazar, Rav Shimon said Butz. Zokti Gemara, this Rebbe is a raya to what Rav said. Afananami Tanina, this is a clear raya that he held that it was Kalayim. So the truth is, at the end of Masechta Shkolim, we learned a little bit about this machloikis. We said over an epic piece from the Arsameach in terms of the Havana of what exactly the machloikis is, whether the Kohen Hedyit's Avnet was the same as the Kohen Gadol's Avnet or whether it was a different Avnet. We said that Rav Meir Simcha said that if Yesh Lachkar, Kohen Gadol, does he have in him Bechlal Messiah Mana, the Kedusha of the Kohen Hedyit? Maybe it's a completely different Kedusha. So it's something that's worth revisiting at some point in Masechtas Yuma, but for now it's a related raid by at the end of Masechtas Shkala. But just one Ha'ara as it relates to the first part of today's life, maybe two Ha'aras. And that is, the Gemara brought a Braisa. The context of the Gemara's discussion was Mezuzah, Tumas Negaim, specifically in Yerushalayim. And the shaila is, Yerushalayim, was it Neschalka L'Shvatim? Or was Yerushalayim Lo Neschalka L'Shvatim? And the Gemara said, it's Machloikis Rebidin L'Chachamim. And then the Gemara said, it's really a major Machloikis Tanoim. One Braisa, one way, one Braisa the other. The Braisa the Gemara brought that says that Yerushalayim was Neschalka L'Shvatim was a Braisa that goes into great detail in terms of what part of Yerushalayim was given to one Shevet and one to the other. The two Shvatim that had parts of Yerushalayim were Binyamin and Yehuda. And the line in the sand that was drawn between the Chelik of Binyamin and between the Chelik of Yehuda was amazingly, literally, the Harabayas, by the Mokim HaMizbeach. In fact, the Gemara says, Ma hoye b'chelke shal Yehuda, harabayis, halishkois, ha'azores. Ma hoye b'chelke shal Binyamin, ulam, heichol, kodshei ha'kadoshim. For Ritzua, he said, yoitza mi'chelke shal Yehuda, v'chneses l'chelke shal Binyamin. There was one Ritzua that should have been in chelke shal Binyamin that ended up in chelke shal Yehuda. Uba hoye mizbeach b'an, and that was the Mokim HaMizbeach, wasn't just the place. U Binyamin HaTzadik hoye mitzare leo l'bala b'chayim, and every day Binyamin HaTzadik tried getting it. How do we know that? Shenema, the Pasuk says, l'Binyamin Omar, Yedid Hashem Yishkoin Lovetach Olav, Chayfev Olav Kolayim, being safe of Shachin. What does Chayfev Olav Kolayim mean? He wanted it, so what does he want? What the context of the Pasuk is Yishkoin Lovetach Olav, being safe of Shachin. The Pasuk is describing the Shroiz Hashchino that was Mechelko Yishal Binyamin. That's what the Pasuk is talking about, and that's what Binyamin Atzadik wanted. That's how we know that it was Chayfev Olav Kolayim Lebala. So the Beis Hamikdash was Bechelko Yishal Yehuda, Ubechelko Yishal Binyamin. But there's an important punchline in this Gemara. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was Bechelke Shel Binyamin. Ubank safe of Shochein. Yedid Hashem Yishkoin Lovetach Olav. The Iker Shechin of the Makam HaMikdash was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that was part of the Yachloiku that ended up Bechelke Shel Binyamin. Binyamin had the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He had the Shufra of the Makam HaMikdash. He also wanted the Mizbeach. And he wanted it so badly that it was Chayfiv Olav Kol Hayayim. But at the same time, Binyamin did have the Ikra Shoyes Hashchina. That was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You know, the Pasuk says, L'Binyamin Amar, Yedid Hashem Yishkoin Lovetach Olav. It almost sounds like the reason Binyamin was Zoicha to have the Shechina in his Chelek, to have the Kodesh HaKadoshim in his Chelek, is because he was the Yedid Hashem. The Chedush Arim said, that what do you have to do with Yedid Hashem? So he said, Pashit, he said, if you have something that you want someone to watch for you, you're going away on a very, very long trip, and you're worried about the security of some of your possessions. You're worried somebody might steal it. You want to make sure it's going to be safe. So you have to find someone to watch it for you. Who would you give it to? You'd give it to a yedid. You would find a friend of yours, a shomer, and you would ask him, will you be my shomer pekadim? Would you watch this for me? So the Chiddush Arim said, that's what the Eibishter did. He said, the Beis HaMikdash is the Eibishter's house. He said, the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash are kelim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holy possessions. And the Eibishter wanted them to be with us in this world. Ba'al Mahadein. And they're here right now, temporarily. But the Eibishter wanted us to have it. And he wanted to make sure they would be protected. So he said, whose house did he give it to us? He went to his Yedid. L'binyamin amma, Yedid Hashem. Binyamin's a Yedid minor. He's a Yedid Nefesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Chiddush Arim said. He said, that's why he gave it to Binyamin. Because Binyamin's Yedid Hashem. That's the emphasis in this pasuk. Yishkoin lovet hachalav. Why? Because as Maina Yedid. And that's why he was Zaychetu. But the truth is, we have to understand on a deeper level, what did Binyamin do to be Zaycha? That Ashrois Ashchina, specifically the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was Bechalke. So there's a fascinating Sefri. We've quoted parts of the Sefri over the years. Hafachba, Vafachba, the Kulaba, the Ein Beis Medrash, Balei Chiddush. The Sefri is in Parashas V'Zayis HaBracha. It's Pisco Yud Beis. And the Sefri says four different reasons why Binyamin was Zaycha, that the Shechina is Bechalke. I think it's kedai to go through them inside. It says this Sefri, Mipnei ma zocha Binyamin shetishra Shechina Bechalke. Why was Binyamin zocha that the Shechina should be in his chelek? Mashal Melech. So the Sefri goes on to tell a mashal. There was a story of a king, Shabbat Yitzaban of Leprakim. He would go to his sons and he wanted to visit them. Palecha v'echad amar etzli hu shayra. All the sons, they were all trying to figure out, so who's the one, which one of the princes is going to merit that the king is going to stay by him, right? They were all bari hachi, they were all sons of the king. And every single son said, they sat together and they had a meeting to plan this big event. And one son said, oh, he should come to me. And the other one said that he should come to me. And says, the medrash is a beautiful medrash. He said, but and there was a small child, one of the younger kids were there, and that kid was just sitting there. He didn't say anything. He was sitting, upon of kfushais, venavshay aguma, and the reason was because he knew there was no chance the king was going to stay by him. He didn't have any of the qualifications. He couldn't check off any of the boxes. All his older brothers were all royal princes. They were all big spiels. And he himself, he had really nothing to offer. And he said he knew it wasn't going to be him. So he sat at the meeting and he was quiet because he had nothing. He said, the father came. And he looked around at the kids and he saw that one child, upon of kibushos, venavshay aguma. He said, no. He says, I'm here, the joke's on you. I'm going to eat by you. He said, I'm going to drink by you. Yeah, you're all my sons. You're going to get covered. But vilinasi etzloi. But I'm going to speak to him. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Binyamin is the youngest of the children. And as a result, the Beis HaMikdash, the Ikar Shechina is going to be Bechelkei Shal Binyam. Dover Acher, another Pshat. Mipnei Mazocha Binyam, Shetish Shechina Bechelkei. Why was Binyam Zoycha that the Shechina was Bechelkei? Melamit Shekol HaShvatim Noldu Bechutz Laretz, U Binyam Noilad Beretz Yisrael. Interesting. All the Shvatim were born in Chutz Laretz. Binyamin was the only one of the sons that was born in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi brings in a Chumash in a place that Binyamin was the only one of the sons that was born in Eretz Yisrael. And because he was the only one of the sons that was born in Eretz Yisrael, that's when he was Zaycha. Another Pshat, and this we've spoken about a lot in the past, and that is Binyamin was the only one of the sons that wasn't involved in Mechiras Yosef. And because he wasn't involved in Mechiras Yosef, so that's why he was Zaycha. But then the Braisa says another Pshat. Dover Rachem. Ibn Ma Zocha Binyamin Shetish Veshchina Bechelke. Mashal Melech Shailai Banim Harbe. There was a melech, he had many sons. Mishigdilu, when the sons got older, Halach Kolecha Ve'echa V'tafas Es Mekayma. They all went and they conquered their own lands and they had their own businesses going and their own little melucha. But this young son, but he had one younger son. And this younger son was home. He was still a little kid. He wasn't ready to go out and start his life. And he used to take care of his father. He was always with his father. He was always taking care of him. Binyamin HaTzadik was the Ben Zakunim. He was the youngest of all the brothers. Binyamin was Zoycha. He was Zoycha because Binyamin was there taking care of his father Yaakov. And because he was taking care of his father Yaakov, it's for that reason that he was Zoycha. Rameir Simcha in Meshech Chochma and Parshas Tetzava, it says that Yesh Loimar, the Nakuda The nekud over here is a little bit tiefer, and that is just with one hakdama that our Meir Simcha says. He says we all know the Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtes Kedushin. Daf Mamet Aleph Amet Aleph. The Gemara says Shalu is Rebbe Eliezer. They asked Rebbe Eliezer, "Heichan kibur aveim? How far? What's the extent of kibur aveim?" Amar Lemi told them, "Tsuru ma asa ovid kechav mecha." He says, "You want to know kibur aveim? I'm going to tell you a story with a sheikets, and from this story, you're going to know how far kibur aveim goes." So he told them a story. There was an ovid kechav mecha in Ashkelon. V'dama ben Asina Shmai. His name was Dama ben Asina. Bikshu mimenu chachamim. The Chachamim wanted from Avonim le'Eifoid, B'shishim Riboy. There was one of the Avonim of the Eifoid that they needed, and Dama ben Asina had it, and they needed it from him, and they went to him, and they offered him a lot of money. But what happened was, the key to the vault where he kept his these stones were underneath his father's head. He didn't want to wake him up. He was a mitzvah, and because of this, he ended up losing out on the deal. Hashem paid him back his schar. What was the schar? He had a para aduma. He offered him all the money in the world. The rest is history. So Dama ben Asina goes down as the one, he's the paradigm for the mitzvah of kibur aveim. And what was the story? The story was the Chachamim were looking for the Avnei Choshen, the Avnei Eifoy. Dama ben Asina had it. He would have had to wake up his father in order for him to be able to get it. Whatever the story exactly was, Akasha Famaisa. But that's what would have had to have happened. And he didn't want to disrupt his father. Al kibud aveim, he was willing to forego all these millions of dollars, and therefore Dama ben Asina goes down. They asked Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, the great Rabbi Eliezer, tell me an example of how far kibud aveim goes, and what was his raya from all the tzaddikim that ever lived? He didn't tell a maisa with a tzaddik. He didn't tell a maisa with one of the. He said a maisa with Dama ben Asina. He said Nachri Echad ba'Ashkelon. He said that's what I'm going to tell you a story with. That's the story of Dama ben Asina. The Yerushalmi tells the rest of the story. This is the Gemara in Bavli. It's Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph Amet Aleph. But if you look in the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi tells the rest of the story. Yerushalmi says which one of the stones of the Eifoid they were looking for. It was the stone of Yashveh. That was the name of the stone. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Nashachachman, Parshas Tetzaveh. He said, what was the stone of Yashveh? So each one of the stones corresponded to one of the Shvatim. Yashveh corresponded to Binyamin. And he said, and that was the stone of Yashveh. So he said, what's the tiefkeit? He said, what's the punchline over here? He says, what were Chazal trying to show us when they said that the stone that they were looking for, which is a stone that ended up teaching us this unbelievable lesson of kibud aveim, it came through Binyamin's stone. Why was Binyamin zoicha that it was his stone that was the intermediary to teach this lesson? So says Rav Meir Simcha, he says, because there was no child that was mechabed his father like Binyamin was. Number one, Binyamin is a safri, took care of his father. But he said, it's much deeper than that. He says, because we know the brothers all sold their father. They all sold Yosef. They were all guilty of Mechiras Yosef. And Mechiras Yosef was a very, very big deal. We're going to talk a lot more about it. There's a huge Bayis Sheni theme with Mechiras Yosef. But Mechiras Yosef is a very big deal. But one of the things that Mechiras Yosef was, keep it up, the amount of tsar that they caused their father, Yaakov Avinu, is mind-boggling. It was an unbelievable, it was an incredible, incredible violation of kibud aveim. I'll pee the madrega of the Shvatim, which we don't understand. But that's what happened. Because at the end of the day, Yaakov had terrible tzar. And says Rav Meir Simcha, Yosef, on some level, was also complicit with this kibud aveim. Why? Because Yosef knew that he was sold. He was the Mishlam Melech, and in theory, he could have told his father and taken his father out of this mourning that he was in. Now, the Rishonim asked the Kashim why he didn't do it, and the Rishonim say a terrorist to try to explain it. But at the end of the day, Noch Ala Terutzim, Noch Ala Maises, it doesn't change the facts on the ground. And that is that Yosef HaTzadik on some level was complicit. Because Yosef HaTzadik had an opportunity maybe to go back and tell his father, and he didn't. So he says, the Shvatim, the Mechiras Yosef. Even Yosef himself played a role in the Mechiras Yosef. So, L'chaira, this was a violation of Kibud Abayim. Only one of the Shvatim that you don't find ever violated kibud aveim was Binyamin. That's why Binyamin was Zoicha. That's why Binyamin was Zoicha. You did Hashem Yishkan Levetach Olav, like the Sifri says. And that's why when we had to tell the story of kibud aveim, the greatest story ever told about kibud aveim, albeit an Oivet Kaychavim and Ashkeloi, but the greatest story ever told involved who? It involved Binyamin. Because Binyamin has a special role in the mitzvah of kibud aveim. He's a miyuchas, he's a mechutin in the sugya of kibud aveim. Because Binyamin, from all the shvatim, he was the one that was singled out the most when it came to kibud aveim. Just one hisafa to this, maybe. And that is a knetch. There's a medrash, Rashi brings this in Chumash. So the pasuk says that when Yosef meets Binyamin, this
incredible encounter. They're all crying. And he finally meets him. And the Pasuk says he introduces him to his sons. And he introduces to him his son Becher and Ashbel and Gera and Naaman and Ehi and Rosh and Mupim and Chupim and Eret. Right? He introduces him to the ganze Mishpacha. Says the Gemara, Shasha Amad Yosef and Binyamin, Shalei. So Yosef turns to Binyamin. He says, Islach Bin, do you have any sons? Amalei In, yeah, of course I have sons. Amalei Kama. He says, how many sons do you have? Amalei Asara. He says, I have 10. Amalei Mashim, what are their names? Amalei, so he told him, Havali Chad Och, I had one brother. This brother was, he was so beautiful. He was taken away from me. And I named all 10 of my sons after this one brother. Bela, tells him about his son Bela, Shenivla Mimani. He was swallowed away from me. Becher, Shaya Bakhurli, Ashbel, Shinishbami Mani, Gera, Shigar Baratzacheret, Naman Shaya Maisam Naman Imen, Echi, Shaya Ochi Vadai, Roish, Shaya Lila Roish, Fuhu Roisham Lahan, Mupim, Shaya Yafim Ma'id Bechaldavar, Chupim Shlai Rabbechu Pasi, I didn't see my Chupa, Blair Isi Bechu Pasi, I didn't see his Chupa, and it goes on. I mean, this is gut wrenching. He tells him about all the different education that he has, and he tells his brother, Yosef's listening to this, and he says, I have this brother, he was taken away from me, and all 10 of my sons, everything is really after him. The truth is that al pi soid, there's an idea that we've spoken a lot about the pasuk today. LeBinyamin Amar Yishkoin Hashem, you did Hashem Yishkoin Levetach Alof Chayfiv Alof Kol Hayom Ubeink Seif of Shachin. But there's another pasuk that talks about Binyamin, and that's in Parshas Vayechi, where the pasuk refers to Binyamin as a ze'ev. Binyamin is a wolf. He's a ze'ev yitrof. So the Svarim HaKadoshim say that Yosef HaTzadik, by the Avera with Eshes Paitifar, so he was Moitzi 10 Tipin of Zera. They came through his fingers, but he was Moitzi 10 Tipin of Zera. That's Rabbi Yechanan said, Anami Zara de Yosef Kosina, that's the Dain Garmel Asira beer. This is all above our pay grade. But the Pasik said, but Chazal say that Binyamin somehow was able to capture those 10 tipin, and that's why Binyamin had 10 sons. The Remez Ledomer, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof. Yitrof is Yud Taraf. Taraf means he chapped, he caught. So Yud Taraf, these 10 tipin, and these 10 sons really had a shaykhus to Yosef, and that's why he named all 10 of these sons after the trials and the tribulations of Yosef, because really all 10 of these sons on some deeper level had a connection to Yosef. But Pasha, you learned the story, Binyamin, this is a story of mourning. It's a story of him banking Nuchzan Brida, and he misses him so much, and he's mourning him and all 10 of his sons. But Binyamin HaTzadik, in light of this raid, was also on the highest level of Kibbutz Ave'eh. In Kibbutz Ave'eim, there's an idea of Kabbat es Havicha Vesimecha L'Rabbi Sachicha HaGadol. It could be there was a Bechinah here of L'Rabbi Sachicha HaGadol as well on the highest level. Binyamin had one full brother from his mother and his father, and he wanted to be Mechabit this brother in the perfect and in the most absolute way. And the way he did was, he named his child again and again and again, and it was through that he was able to be mechabed his father. But the point is, Binyamin was zoicha. You did Hashem yishkon lavet achalav choyfei valav kol hayoyim ubzein seif of shachin. Why was he zoicha? Four pshatim in the sefri. But Ashenogeya to this raid bite is that it was related to the fact that Binyamin, more than all his brothers, had this incredible kibud avayim. Number one, he was the young child. He was always taking care of his father. But va'oid, on a much deeper level, he wasn't involved in the mechiras Yosef. And all the brothers were. Even Yosef, why didn't he tell his father that he was alive? Binyamin was the only one that was pristine. That's why the story of David ben Asina was on this galgal through Binyamin, because Binyamin was perfect in the area of Kibbutz Ave'eim. So Yavoi Zakai Megalgal and Tzchusa Yedei Zakai, he was one that was Zoicha, that Kibbutz Ave'eim, that legacy, it goes through David ben Asina, but there's a hidden secret, says Ramea Simcha, Parshas Tetzaveh, not from an Oivet Kechavim in Ashkeloi, but rather from one of the Shiftei Ka. And which one of the Shiftei Ka? It's Binyamin HaTzadik.